Christian's life of holiness, that, you know, you want to be able to have clean thoughts all day long. You know, that's what the Bible's talking about. Clean thoughts, clean actions. That's holy life. You understand? We got to get the idea that a holy life is somebody whose hands are tied, their feet are tied, their mouth is taped shut, you know, eyes are closed, they don't do anything, and that's a holy life. That's not a holy life. You can, and Christ gave us the victory, you can have clean thoughts and clean actions, right attitude as a Christian. You can. And that's what it means to live holy. But it is not just self-righteousness. We're talking about having the mind of Christ, doing the works of Christ, with the love of Christ. Now, we're continuing this walk theme that's in Ephesians, was started in Ephesians chapter 4 and continues in Ephesians chapter 5, where it tells us believers must walk as followers, not to get ahead of the Lord and be doing our own thing. We've already looked at that. We're going to be following the Lord. We're supposed to walk in love. This is something we talked about where there's something you can tell when somebody's in love. Amen? And there's just such an atmosphere about them because they're in love. You know, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, it'll show. So we should walk in love. Now, that means also we should be in love with the brethren. We should be in love with our families. We should be in love with the right things. But when you're in love, and you're going through life, it just shows. And so we talked about that. Believers must walk in love. You can tell when somebody's walking in hate. You just get out of their way. But here, it's talking about walking in love. Walk in the light. There are some areas of work I don't want to go to, man. Because there's no light there. And Christians, we walk in the light. It's a weird thing. There have been a couple of winters where the lights have gone out all over our state. And it is really, here's the American term, it's really freaky. We had 53 hours where the electricity was out there like 5, 6, 7 years ago. And we couldn't even make a cup of tea. I was wishing for the old-time fireplace where you could swing a kettle over the fire and swing it back out, you know, and fix it up. We couldn't even do that, you know? And you just go outside and the darkness was so thick, it was scary. And it's just good to walk in the light, man. It's good to have the street lamps, it's good to have an artificial light, but it's good to be saved. It's good to be in the light of God's Word and the light of the Holy Spirit. So we walk in the light. Last week we started looking at walking circumspectly. Anybody want to try a definition of that? So walk circumspectly. Hear the word spectacle. There's a Hannes, he's got his on. Kenneth, Tony, Leon, Leo, sorry, and Marcus, what else?
Walking when you're looking around.
Fully aware, just like driving. When you're driving, you should drive circumspectly, which means you're fully aware of what's going on around you. You just don't plow ahead and ignore everybody around you and some people die. You shouldn't walk. What's the word? Just ignorantly. You walk circumspectly. So we talked about that basically last week. We're going to finish that. And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. So many churches and Christians put an emphasis on walking in the Spirit, and they never walk through those truths and got to the place where they understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. Some people put on a good show, but they don't know how to live it. They don't know how to just carry it through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to look at that in the next few weeks. And then finally, we're going to deal with the last half of Ephesians chapter 5 is on the home. Walking right in your home. So, let's talk about those spectacles there. Let's talk about walking circumspectly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. He repeats himself over and over and over, following, walking, not running. This is not a race. This is a walk. Amen. Aren't you glad? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, we talked about when you walk circumspectly, it means you're going forward. It's kind of hard. If you ever try to ride a bicycle backward, you will not go far. The purpose of a bicycle is to go forward, amen. And God gave you feet not to run from your problems, not to run from the pressures, but to always go forward. You may have to slow down, you may even have to stop, but you never retreat, amen. Always go forward. If you're walking somewhere, you keep going to get somewhere. So we're always forward in motion. said you may succeed or you may not. Is that what your eyes should be on? Not at all. If your eyes are on success, when it doesn't happen, you'll drop out, you'll give up, you'll fall apart. But if your eyes are on a heavenly prize, if your eyes are upon a well done, unmoved, faithful servant through the Lord Jesus Christ, when your eyes are on eternal things, then you're focused and you're walking circumspectly. Your eyes are on the right place. Hey, if you're watching other Christians, you'll be discouraged. Did you ever notice that? Because they won't always be faithful, will they? If your eyes are following your pop idols and the music musicians and the movie stars, you find out real quick whether they're not what they claim to be. Amen. I remember, you know, the old Star Trek, Captain Kirk. He made a huge blunder one time because back in the 60s, they only showed, I think it was only on for 3 years, and then they canceled it because it wasn't making enough money. But it started, I think, at Star Trek conventions. And in Chicago, there was a convention in the 1970s where there were, must have been 10,000 Trekkies. And all of these people dressed up with the Spock ears. And I mean, they were weird, okay? Not like Star Trek, but that was too far. All of the stuff. So everybody's wearing things that beeped and blinked and blinked and stuff like this. They're all just Trekkies. And William Shatner, who is Captain Kirk, or was that based on? Who was that Captain Kirk? He's invited to come and speak to all this crowd. And he gets up there, and the people are doing a standing ovation. They love him. And he got up there, and he says, "Guys, get a life!" It was only a show. He was booed off the stage. Now, here's the point. To them, he will always be Captain Kirk. But he says, "I'm not. I'm William Shatner. Get a life, guys." And you know, people, they were let down by the movie stars, music stars, and so forth. You know, it's just good to have your eyes on somebody that will never fail. Amen? That's why I love my Bible. That's why I love learning about Jesus. Because people will fail, and I keep focused on the real prize. Third thing, you're walking circumspectly. You're aware of your enemies. Amen? You're aware of your weaknesses. You're aware of where the devil may attack. So you need to be very careful, very aware of your surroundings. Know your limits, know your enemies. Somebody said, have your friends close, have your enemies even closer. Amen. Who are our enemies? We know that we are our worst enemies. We know that sometimes our brethren can become our enemies. They turn on us because they don't understand something. Or they just have a bad day. And we go, "Oh, my brother, that was my Christian sisters, she just tore me to shreds." Sometimes the devil uses anybody. You know that. Usually it is spiritual powers that are coming against you. Amen. You've learned, I've taught you, that these fights that we find ourselves in, between ourselves, usually is instigated by, if it's not by our flesh, who else? By Satan. So next time you get serious and you want to punch somebody's face, realize, probably it's not them. Probably not. Probably the devil. He's just urging them on and fueling them on. So don't be so quick to prejudge your discipline. I mean, when the Bible says your wrestling is not with them, your wrestling is with principalities and powers. And then sometimes your wrestling is the devil himself. The Bible says he's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he, not just one of his minions, not one of the demons, but whom he may devour. So sometimes, now I doubt any of us really gone so gung-ho for God that we had to actually wrestle against that power. I don't think people have. So sometimes our enemy gets very serious and he wants to ruin us. That's alright. Our God is faithful and he can stand by us. So let's keep going. Let's keep looking at this concept now. We're moving to the fourth thought of walking circumspectly. There in verse 17 it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Don't walk like a foolish guy. Eyes closed. I told you about when I was a kid. We remember about being blind. And I remember I closed my eyes and I ran outside. This is full color memory. I must have been no older than 7 or 8 years old. Because I had no intelligence at all. And I closed my eyes and everybody was out at recess. Favorite class. still remember it to this day. I saw stars, I saw
galaxies,
nebulae, I saw a lot of stuff that moment. So, he's not as fools, but as wise. So think about this wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want to talk about being wise. Being wise here. Wherefore, be not unwise, the Bible says, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, here's an Old Testament theme. We've been going through it in Proverbs. Wise and the foolish. Remember, over and over talks about a wise son will hear rebuke. A wise man will hear instruction and be yet wiser. We've learned about that. And then it talks about the fool. Over and over, this Old Testament theme is now being reminded to us. And the Bible, when it talks about wise, is not talking about being a rocket scientist. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
But just being a thinker, cautious, sober-minded. I'll never forget it. When I first moved here, I didn't understand when somebody said, would you ever cop off? Jerry, just cop off. I didn't understand that, what that meant until I was out door knocking. And a dad was talking to his daughter, and she was a teenager. She was just giving out to him. And he just said, would you ever cop on? And he took his hat off and hit her on the head. Now I understand. That was a joke. But I finally dropped, the pin dropped, where I understood basic understanding. Would you ever catch up with what I'm trying to say? And you know, that's just basic wisdom. The Bible says, have some basic wisdom. Don't be stupid. Don't be an ignoramus. I don't know if that's an Irish phrase, but that's what we come up with from where I come. Now, here's a simple outline on how to be wise. It tells us to be wise, so let's just think for a moment how to be wise. The first thing you need to do if you want to be wise is you need to study wisdom himself. Who am I speaking of? You know, the Lord himself. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. You can leave it because you can come back to it in a little bit. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. You need to study wisdom himself. You know, there are loads of people who turn to the process of education. Right now, Dublin Institute of Technology is fighting for the right to be known as a university. It'll make Dublin, it'll make the fourth university in Dublin if they get permission to do it. And everybody, they're thrilled at the fact that nearly 18% of the Irish population are now either in or have graduated from third level education. And I'm all for that. It's not a problem. They're looking, thinking that education is where they're going to find wisdom. That education is where you find wisdom. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, is it possible to misunderstand the Bible and wrongly divide it?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Aren't you glad you didn't bring a lamb tonight? Aren't you glad you're not having to try and find a temple to worship in? You can rightly divide and you can wrongly divide. There are some people who think they have to keep the Ten Commandments to be saved. Ooh, they wrongly divided the Word of God, didn't they? There are some people that think that Jesus was just a prophet, a Messiah in the flesh, not actually the Son of God. They wrongly divided the word of truth. Some people think that there's no rapture, only the second coming of Christ, or just look out for the wrath of God. No, they have to rightly divide the word of truth. We know there's a rapture, pulling the saints out before the wrath of God comes. You see, there comes wisdom when you spend time in this book. When you personally, now what's the purpose of learning this Bible? I want to make something very powerful clear to you. You know what the purpose of learning that Bible? To get to know the author. That's it. Not just facts and figures and places and things and stories and shadows and types and symbols. You know what it is? He's telling me about Jesus. Tell me about his ways. You know what God says there in Psalms? He's referring back to the time when Israel came out of Egypt. God says, 40 years I was put out of those people. 40 years! And I was upset with them because they didn't know my ways. They didn't know what I expected. No matter how many times they explained it to them, they wouldn't get it. So there's just come time when you just get into the Bible, and your whole purpose is so you know the author. So you can sense how he feels and what he expects and verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. When it's popular, when it's not popular. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want it. They'll just say, this is too boring, this is too much. Look what it says. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away the ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto feebleness. You know, a lot of people look at chapter 3 and verse 7. This is kind of humorous. Speaking of our modern age, would you agree with this? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Chapter 3, verse 7. Mm-hmm. That's our modern world. You know why I preach? Because I know the truth. His name is Jesus Christ. I want to tell everybody about him. I want to tell them every page of this Bible tells them the way, the truth, and the life. So we need to study wisdom himself, the author of this book. We need to study his mind, his heart. Did you know the wisest people are those who personally know the Savior, and they're always studying him. The wisest people are not the ones who invent nuclear bombs, and even though it takes an incredible mind to come up with some of these things, the wisest people are those who walk with Jesus. It takes time, it takes effort, and it takes humility. You know, when you're studying the Bible, guess what? Your first impressions are usually, almost always, wrong. So as you study the Bible, it takes a humble heart that doesn't go, I understand it all now. Isn't that how we are? We get a little bit of Bible knowledge, don't we? And I mean, we're off. And we're going around telling everybody what we think. It's like, take a step back and be checked. And that's really... The cross-reference check, if that's what it means. So you must have a humble approach to the Word of God, because you might need some refinement. Amen? So study wisdom himself. If you're going to get wisdom, if you're going to get wise, you need to get close to He who is all wise. Secondly, learn to fear God. Learn to fear God. Go to Proverbs. Now in the middle of your Bible is Psalms. Go to the right from that. You go to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Now, how are you going to learn to fear God? Well, you get that Bible, you'll fear God. I read of a preacher who, when he first got saved, he was lost, man. When he first got saved, he remembered when he was unsaved, he was living in hotels. There was a kid in Bible in those hotels. Now they get rid of, they don't even want them in the Bible in the hotels anymore. But I was, listen folks, you never know how many people find God when they're so far away from everybody else. And he opened up that drawer, pulled out the Bible, and he just let it fly open, and he just started reading there. And it just started off, it just started saying, and the wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. And he changed it over to another page, looking at it and says, the Son of Man shall come in wrath and fire and damnation. All negative. He took that book and threw it across the room and he said, it's all against me. and you know, before he got saved, he must have turned to 10 different places in the Bible and it was all just negative, negative, negative. And he just threw the Bible against the floor. And then somebody witnessed to him and somebody told him some of the good stuff about the Bible. You know what he needed? He needed to fear God more than he could ever respect God. Amen. And a lot of our kids, a lot of this generation, they don't respect God. Why? Because they never learned to fear God. And if you get into that Bible, you see it seems to be a lot of negativity. It's probably a lot of warning. Amen? And it's just what we need. Our generation needs it like never before. We need to fear God. People need to be back in this book again. So here in Proverbs now, chapter 9 and verse 10, let's learn about the beginning of wisdom. He says this, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 10, chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy, speaking of God being holy, the knowledge of the Holy, that is understanding. So, learn to fear God. Did you know, I got to thinking this, people learn either to fear everything or fear nothing. That's our modern world. There are people who won't go out of their house because they got panic attacks. They're hyper anxious pleasure here. God says he will not hold him guiltless. That takes his name just in vain. It just throws it around. You better fear the chastening hand of the Lord. Amen. How do you like to be spanked by God? How many? Joseph does it now. Probably because he got to the point where he realized, thank God, you're still there. You're still being a faithful parent. Amen. But most of us don't enjoy it because it's no fun. But you better fear. You know, when he does get a hold of us, shake us and humble us, see what he's doing? He's trying to teach us to fear him. I didn't fear him before I got saved. Did you know what happened? I'm saved. I need to fear him still. Take your Bible. Let me show you a verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. You need to fear the chastening hand of the Lord. You know this. Be sure your sin will find you out. You know what? God, when you start messing with sin, it's like a GPS locator. You carry that sin and you hide it, and then when you get somewhere, you go, beep, 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 he's over here! He did it! He did it! That's what your sin will do. It will point you out every time. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's another great verse. For whatsoever a man soweth, guaranteed that naturally also reap. You mess with sin, it'll hurt you. Amen. Sin ever did you one good one time in your life. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when God has to deal with you, you need to fear it. Look in chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's speaking to believers or unsaved. Who's he talking to? Believers. Right? So we're not going to appear at the great white throne judgment of the unsaved. We appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Oh, good. Oh, good. Here comes rewards. Watch it. According as that he had done, whether it be good or, you know, God's not going to overlook a lot of stuff. He says, Lord, it be bad. Knowing therefore the what? Terror. His terror, a good word or a? Ooh, a scary word. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, we're open. And I trust also that we manifest in your conscience. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? I know what's ahead. And one of these days, out of the open, all of my secret thoughts, all of my flippant words, my life since I got saved, I'm glad my sins are under the blood. But do you know what? How flippantly I live life, my life is going to be shown in front of everyone. The Lord's going to say, now what'd you do there, Craig? What was that for? I want to give an account. And it'll terrify me. And I'd rather get it right now than have to explain it later. Amen. What is the principle there in our view? It is easier to keep something clean than it is to clean it up afterwards. I'm not actually saying it right. What is the way? Okay. After it's been defiled, what is it? Okay. So, you know, it's a whole lot easier to keep yourself and your life and your actions and your thought right clean. It's a whole lot easier to keep it clean than to try to clean it up afterwards. And to have to answer for it. Amen. Even if you have kids, you know what it's like to come home and go, my, you broke the face. What's the mayor doing down on the floor? And have somebody, you know what our kids do? What, me? I won't even hear you. And they won't even answer. Well, one day you stand before God, you'll have to answer. Amen. Don't you know how you need that thing? You need, and I need to fear God. Amen. That's a wise thing to do. Would you agree? Amen. Amen. Third, if you want to be wise, you're studying Jesus Christ. He's wisdom personified, wisdom himself. You need to learn to fear God. Thirdly, you need to walk with the Lord. Still in Proverbs, go to chapter 13 now. Back to Proverbs, chapter 13. You need to walk with the wise. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Brother Bill, would you read Proverbs 20 and verse 30? I keep rehearsing it. Proverbs, what probably is a good verse over there too? Well, we'll stay in chapter 13, verse 20.
Sorry, Father. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but they, when they shall be
much stuff that comes up. You got to be very, very careful about who you walk with, who you allow to give you thoughts and give you what you think is wisdom, who are the people who you look up to and look to for direction and guidance. And it ought to be men. We need some male role models in this day, but we're gone. Not the women are the problem. The problem is, if you're going to save a nation, it's going to be by the men getting right with God. Amen. Men need men leadership, not lady leadership. Believe me, amen. You women already found that out when you tried to meet your husband and just dumb hard, amen. Always get plenty of counsel about decisions. You need to read, yes, but you need to talk to spiritual leaders. You need, sometimes when you're looking, you're banging your head against the wall, talk to somebody. Get spiritual wisdom from somebody who's at least more spiritual than you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you redeem this, how you make it. lines. He says one final thing. He says, know and understand the will of God. Be not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And you know, the will of God is one of those things that people sort of just, they're always questioning, you know, what is God's will for me? Let me tell you, I can tell you seven things, surefire, that are God's will for every person on this planet. Do you know that? I can tell you God's will for your life. Right here. All you really need is this list right here. If you're worried about, should I marry him? Should I marry her? Should I move here? Should I move there? Should I change this job? You know, that means nothing if these seven have not been established. Let me show you the first thing that every person on this planet was. Will of God is for every person on this planet to be saved. Let's take your Bible. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And you know, I'm about to give you some wisdom tonight. Because when you know the will of God, guess what? He gives you wisdom. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. See, Brother Dennis, would you read 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4? You can go ahead. Well, yeah, verse 3 and 4, Brother Dennis. Thank you. times. You know, when somebody takes that drink, you know what they're doing? They're surrendering control over to that alcohol, aren't they? They're saying, you guide me. You make me into a different man. You know, when we surrender the Holy Spirit, you'll make me into a different person. Right. Amen? Amen. The will of God is for every person in this room not to come in here dry, dead. I know we're wore out. I know we get discouraged. But don't you dare think that the Christian life can be lived not filled with the Spirit. You will die. You will crawl up and die without His filling. You need to get close to Him and just His light. You may not see the outside sun for weeks on end. But if you spend time with Him in prayer and you yield to His work in your life, no matter how hard, and He begins to fill you. And we'll talk in a few weeks about being more about being filled, because there's a lot of key things to understand there. But when you get filled with the Spirit, you just get addicted. Leaning on Him and hearing His soft, still, quiet voice. You get full of it. And your life is changed. Some people think you'll swing from the chandeliers. No, you know what you'll do? You'll be seen. You'll be loved. You'll have power. You'll have stability. That's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be bold and courageous in speaking of the truth. Amen? Be saturated. Third thing that every person on this planet is supposed to be is be satisfied. Let's go to Ephesians 5, verse 19 now. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Always. Oh, it even goes worse. How come he has these next three words? For how many things? When's the last time you thank God for everything? I'm in Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 20. Giving thanks always? That was hard enough. For all things? You know what, God? Listen to what it says. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. I'm supposed to give thanks. I'm supposed to be thankful. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Go to the right. Find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. So Tony, would you read that? 5:18.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to serve you.
Amen. There's a memory verse a couple months back. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Isn't that commanding? That's it. God's will is that I'm to be thankful, not a grouch. Amen? My flesh didn't want to give out, but the Holy Spirit inside me will grip me and say, be thankful. Find some way to be satisfied. Fourthly, the will of God, not only to be saved and saturated and satisfied, the fourth one is to be, ooh, here's a bad word, be submissive. Go back here to Ephesians chapter 6. Be submissive as servants in everything you do. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 5. Ephesians 6, Joseph, would you mind reading 5, 6, 7, and 8? Chapter 6, verses 5 to 8.
Serve your obedience to them, at your master, according to the flesh, bear with them, the singleness of your heart, as unto Christ.
Keep going down to 8.
Not for my servants, as men laborers, but as the servants of Christ, whom the will of God from the heart.
There it is.
Will good, will do in service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whosoever good thing
submissive. That includes to submit to the laws of the land. You know, when you're submissive, you know, when the car pulls you over and you're on the road, you're in trouble, you get respect. You know, they have authority. You submit, you don't fight them. We have such a bad attitude towards authority, especially in this day and age. It's wrong. It's wrong. Be submissive servants. Fourth, fifthly, if you're going to be wise, you're going to know God's will, and His first will for your life is to be saved. The second one is to be saturated or filled with the Holy Spirit. Thankful in all things, submissive in everything you do, and then be sanctified. What a special Bible word. You go to the right, just a few more pages, back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me just give you a bit of scripture. Again, I'm just giving you a taste of these things. By the way, all these things are taught in the discipleship. It's good for us to review as well, to remind us what is God's will for our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. For this is the will of God. Here it is. He endured, what is it? Alright? That he should abstain from fornication. That everyone, he begins to describe what sanctification is. It's me staying away from something. Amen? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor, not dishonor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Concupiscence is that mental lust. Even the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond it to defraud his brother, cheat his brother, in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So what is the will of God? Sanctification. Let me describe sanctification. Sanctification means that we separate ourselves from sins and evils so that we can be holy and clean in God's hands. Look at 2 Timothy. You're in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to write. We're in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here we go. Jesus gave a wonderful illustration. He said about the Pharisees. He said, ye Pharisees, as you go into 2 Timothy chapter 2, ye Pharisees, ye clean the outside of the cup. Remember his illustration? He said, ye clean the outside of the cup, and it's beautiful, it's washed, but inside, it's full of putrefaction, death. He said, you're like a tomb, a sepulcher, that's been painted over, it's been wiped out, so it looks beautiful. Sanctification is not when you just put on a suit and just look nice on the outside. Sanctification is when you're clean on the inside. Amen. Nobody wants to drink from a cup that's been drank from already and left to sit there for a few days. Amen. Every cup we pick up we want to drink, we always look at it. Is that true? Anybody else? You pick it, look at it, go, okay. And then we'll watch, or then we'll drink from it. No? Because we know it's clean. You know what God wants us to be? Clean. Not only on the outside. Some people say poverty, people that are poor, I understand, but you know, a bar of soap costs nothing, almost. People can be clean. I don't care how little money you have, you can be clean. But listen, you don't have to have any money to be clean on the inside. You just need Jesus, man. You need to walk with God, and you need to want to be clean. So as they get tired of people, you know, most Christians are either Calvinists or charismatic. You know what that means? This is how they live their Christian life. They come to church, and they just go, okay, God, clean me up. And they just sit there. Or they just wait. They go through the day, they go through the weeks, they go through their months, and they're waiting for God to finally get a hold of them and change their life. You know what? Nothing will happen. Because the Bible says you must seek, ask, knock. You got to want it. You got to search the Scriptures, find Jesus Christ in the book. You got to let Him speak to you. My sheep hear my You are getting rid of something, aren't you? And you know, sometimes we just leave stuff and we leave stuff and we never finally get rid of it. Give you an illustration. I had 45s, probably worth a lot of money today. I had 45, 78, and 33 RPM records of Elvis. Ugh, yeah, hated it. Elvis Presley, the Beatles. I only liked a few groups, but I kept all these things thinking they were going to be worth some money someday. You know what I have to say? I held on to those things. I held on to those things thinking, I'll just hold on to them, you know, and I'll sell them someday. You know, God gripped my heart, convicted me, and says, that's sin in your life. And every time you go around and you start listening to that stuff, and I wasn't just listening to that stuff. I was listening to a lot of heavy metal rock, Led Zeppelin, a whole bunch of things. You know what I need to do? Purge the whole thing. If I was going to go forward, I need to make a clean break. Look at your Bible. Here's the biblical truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that means just make a clean break, dump some things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. What's the word? Sanctified. Now, when he's flushed that stuff down the toilet, when he's thrown it into the bin, I told you how I had 78s that were on the record. I don't know if they still can make them like that, but I was breaking some records, and I got one hold of one of those 78s, and I went, and it wouldn't break. Had to burn the thing. It felt good. It says, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel in honor, sanctified and meet, prepared, fit for the master's use, prepared in every good work. Now you're ready to use the God. That's what it means to be sanctified. Coming away from activities and influences that hinder us from serving the Lord with the whole heart. May I ask, what's hindering you? I know, probably it's your boss. That's what's hindering you. Probably it's your mother-in-law, right? Right, you know. Probably it's your paycheck. That's what's stopping you. It's just not enough there. You know, we'll blame everything and anything. You know what's stopping you from joy? It's secret sins that you will not get rid of. You understand? If you're not being used of God right now, it's because you're holding on to some secret sin. Now, I'm not saying that you have to, again, live like a monk and have no life at all. But there are some secret things in most everybody's life. You need to look in there and go, you know, nobody's ever been in that closet. I got the key, and I know it's behind that door, and I need to open that thing up, swing it up, grab that old skeleton by the nape of the neck, and just chuck him out! And not let him speak or move in my life again. It might be some thought patterns that just keep showing up. It might be some bad habits. It might just be some bad friends. It's just something that you finally get rid of. Wouldn't it be nice? You know what? You hold the key. The Lord will help you. The Bible says, even in salvation, He says, I'll secure it. I'll carry you through salvation, and I'll carry you through every one of your battles. You know that? That sanctified. It's a big word. It's a wonderful word, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be clean. Last. Oh, no, two more. Very important thing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 to the right. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. After Hebrews comes James and then 1 Peter chapter 3. If you're going to be wise, you need to know the will of God. If you're going to know the will of God, you need to be ready to sometimes suffer. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Watch this. Having a good conscience, that whereas they'll speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You know, the will of God may be for you to go through some tough times. Amen? You say, you know what? I'm working harder than ever before. I'm spending more time in my life. I'm more in church than I've ever been before in my life. Everything's a mess. It's getting harder. Okay. It's better to suffer for doing right than as an evil doer. Amen? If the will of God be so. Sometimes God's will is that you have a bad day. Amen? And you know what? You need to be willing to suffer. Amen? That's the will of God. sick with them. Do you understand? Many a martyr went to the rack as they were being tortured and asked to recant of just faith in Jesus Christ instead of faith in just in the church. While they were on that, you ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It'd make you so that you wouldn't want to go to sleep at night. Give you enough nightmares for a month. And the kind of torture they went through because of trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They were only trying to do right. And they were suffering for it. And they would take this verse. They were suffering according to the will of God, and they just committed to keeping their souls unto the faithful Creator. They knew He would do well. Sometimes you just have to have that mental awareness. You know, Lord, this may be rough, but You'll get me through. The last thing is the will of God is to be a soul winner. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In verse 8.
After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
So what's He commanding us? What is His will?
Preach the word.
Preach the word to reach our world. He is not going to be one on His own. Nobody gets saved without a preacher. Yes, Marcus. Oh no. He was speaking to all Christians. He's speaking to all Christians, starting with the apostles, but it'll go on and on, even to the ends of the world, to the most parts of the world. Amen. Or else it's over. What are we doing? Don't it goes on and on and on. Jesus said in Matthew 28, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you below. I'm with you, even to the end of the world." He says, Go on until you find the end of the world. Guess what? There's no man. It was a sneaky trip. The best explorers should have been the born-again Christians trying to find the edge of the world. And they wouldn't have found it. And they would have just found more people. They would have said, amen. Amen. You know what the will of God is? You need to be a soul. If you're going to be anything as a Christian, you start by being saved. You get saturated with the Holy Spirit and the word and the sword of the Spirit. These are the words, so you got to get into that book. Boy, you need to let the Lord make you thankful. You need to be submissive. You need to have hope. God deliver us from this haughty, hard-headed, stubborn attitude that we have in this Western world. We need to be submissive servants. Anybody ever been outside of Ireland and been to countries, say the Philippines, say countries, most the rest of the world is right there. People who, the moment they get near you, they want to help you, they want to bless you, they want to feed you, they want to meet their thing. And you're like, man, what are you doing? I'm not worthy of this, and it embarrasses us. You know, it's just something weird, really wrong. It's just wonderful. Learn to be, and that is the will of God, to serve. The greatest calling, the highest calling, leave. It's well done, that good and faithful servant. Greatest thing Christ can ever call us. He won't say, "Well done, a good faithful teacher." Not going to say that, amen. You know what He's going to say? That's a good servant. That's what I want. Sanctified. Clean on the inside. Sometimes suffering. The will of God be so be it. But I always, the will of God is to be a soul winner. Do you know a lot of people worry about what woman to marry, what career to get into, whether God is calling somebody into full-time ministry? Some people worry about what country they should live in, what kind of computer to buy. These are all easy to handle. You know what? They're all secondary. You won't worry about who you're going to marry if you're worried about making sure you're doing all of these things. Amen? So, what's our verse? The verse says, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God didn't make it very hard. He gave us enough to keep us busy. Would you agree? He got some stuff to do, amen. He'll keep you busy just to work on your attitude. He'll keep you busy just getting to know the person of Jesus Christ, the author of wisdom. Keep you busy being sanctified. We're working on trying to get rid of stuff that's constantly pulling you down. He'll keep you busy for your soul winning, and you're trying to tell people all about Jesus Christ, about that bowl, about the cantata on Sunday. Some people discover we have snuck in an ad in the Valley Valley newsletter. So if we have visitors, we're going to do our best. Amen. But I want people to come. I want people to hear. I want your families to come and hear the gospel at Christmas time. Just stand with us in our final prayer. Let's pray about being wise. Pray about this concept. Living in wisdom. And the kind of wisdom that's different than the world's wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools anymore, but as wise. Redeeming the time because of the days. I'm afraid they've always been evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Father, what a scary thought. What is your will? Are we submitted to it? Are we yielded to it? Are we trusting that it's always right? Maybe the will of God is for us to go through some dark tunnels sometimes. Even go under the shadow of death. David, in Psalm 23, was not talking about death. He was talking about just the shadow of death. Are we willing to go through some sometimes? If the will of God be so. Are we willing to face our real attitudes, who we really are, and let you change us? Are we willing to learn wisdom and to grow in wisdom? It's going to take us developing some right fear to develop the right attitude towards you. Develop the right habits in your word. So Lord, I pray, Lord, as we're coming to Christmas, come up to this time, Lord, wonderful, wonderful time. God, help us to keep it holy. Keep us from sin. Lord, thank you for the freedom that's in Christ. There's no reason why Christmas shouldn't be the cleanest, sweetest, most wonderful time ever in our lives. For our children's sake, for church's sake. Lord, I pray, bless this week. And all the hubbub and all the activity in the world will be shocking. Lord, family, so much going on. I just pray that we would sense your presence. We would look for it. We would yearn.